Good morning and welcome to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration that will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Wherever you are.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
Welcome to Being Here.
Yeah. A few things you need to know. We finish each other's sentences.
As we already have been.
I fidget from time to time, so if you hear rustling, that's me.
What else do you need them to know?
It's okay to have fun. The name of the show today is The Story Time. Story time is over. You know, the story of your life. Well, one other thing you need to know. If you're listening to this show for the first time, or many times, we suggest that you discover how to truly listen. To listen not to see whether you agree or disagree, or think you know what we're saying, but to listen to hear the words spoken by the whoever's speaking. Monday night this week, that was a couple of days ago, I was speaking with a man at the end of the evening. Actually, he was speaking to me, and he was telling me how he totally knew exactly what we were talking about. And that word totally, like I totally understand, I totally get it, always a suspect for me, because people rarely understand exactly what you're talking about. They understand their understanding, their thoughts in the matter, their beliefs about what you're talking about. They superimpose over top of whatever you say their interpretation of what you're saying rather than hear it. It's an exercise in disciplining yourself to hear what's being said from the point of view of the person speaking. And that's at first not easy, but it gets easier as you practice it, like any skill set. Listening is truly a skill set that allows you to access the current moment of your life.
It's possible to listen without fact-checking it against what you know. Fact-checking is not quite the right phrase, but most of us want to slot it into an I know that already in order to not appear stupid to ourselves, uneducated to ourselves, less in the know.
Well, you know, being ignorant of something is not an offense, but we hold it as such. If we don't already know it, that we consider it somehow a shortcoming. Now, I'm sure there's somebody out there who's saying, oh, I don't do that.
Well, I'll give you an example, though, of when knowing it already is not useful. Last night, Shia said to me, Ariel, you're so beautiful. I love you. And I could go, oh, I know that. Or I could hear it newly in the moment, as opposed to using my knowledge base or my thoughts to shunt aside the depth of what he was saying to me. So today, I don't know that we're going to say anything deep and meaningful, but why not play the game of just letting it come in and not having to bother with what you know? But just be here. Being here sounds like a theme.
It could be the name of a radio show.
See, our approach is not psychological, where you're going to go back into your past and figure out what you did wrong or what they did wrong or what society did wrong and figure out how to be a better you and a better them and how to fix it. Our approach is about noticing what's happening in the current moment without judging what you see. And when you do that, your story of your life fades away, and you actually begin to step into your own brilliance.
Well, you know, this story of your life, what you remember, the story you've told yourself over and over again as to why your life is the way it is, blaming it on what happened in the past, that story, when you bring it into the current moment, you actually corrupt the current moment so it can only show up like the past.
Yeah. As you talk about that, I realize a lot of people are looking to get rid of the stories that they victimize themselves with. And of course, in the description of this show, that is one of the things we highlighted. But most of us never want to relax around the idea that even our most precious, nicest memories are recorded by the individual we were at the time of the recording. So my 8-year-old birthday party, or the shoes I was so proud to wear to school when I was 10, a 10-year-old's perspective is a 10-year-old's perspective. Yet we base our lives on our story and our past.
That's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you said that, I flashed back on a time when I was a little kid, and when I was a baby, somebody gave my mother a pair of Indian moccasins for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she showed them to me, and I wanted them to fit on my feet, except my feet were 3 times bigger than the moccasins.
Right.
And I was so disturbed by that. I forgot about that. That we're going back 70 years here.
Yeah.
And how that memory just showed up in your talking about memory. See, you can't do anything about the past. It's already happened and over. And you may revisit it, but that just keeps tormenting you and taking you out of the current moment of your life, even your good memories.
Well, actually, those, like the one you just had, memories can happen spontaneously. And Shia got a smile on his face, and it's part of the richness of who we are. But basing your life on those memories,
on what you as a child, mostly in a temper tantrum, made up about how your parents were and then proved yourself right over years. Well, you can do that, and the psychological approach seems to empower that, but it's not really a formula for having an exquisite life, where you experience being loved and you experience happiness and well-being. I mean, if you want those things, it would behoove you to be willing to give up all the reasons you have for why you don't have that.
As Shai and I were this morning preparing for today's show, we read over the description of the show, which, of course, we produced along with our producer, Susan, and kudos and shout out to you. I love that we have all sorts of themes and have for more than 10 years that she helps us do. But as we were reading it over, we were looking that what we said here is that in order to experience well-being with consistency, you have to give up being a victim. And we realized as we said that, we were missing a step.
Yeah, you have to be willing to give up being the victim of your life. Be willing to see that you've been victimizing yourself. If you don't want to see that, well, there's nothing we can do for you.
And see, if you have the willingness, it's already over. Let's talk about those three principles of instantaneous transformation before we take our first caller. The first of which is anything you resist
persists, grows stronger, and runs your life.
So if you resist your story, if you resist the fact that you use your story to hold yourself as a victim, if that's the case, if you resist it and try and change it and want it to be different and declare you're going to be different, you'll keep it in place. Because anything you resist grows stronger And it dominates your life.
Second principle is you can only be exactly as you are in any moment of now. So right now, if you're listening to this show live, that's all you could be doing. And if you're listening to it on a recording,
you couldn't have heard it a moment before you did.
That's right. The same thing happens for your past. It happened, and that's it. It's over.
Now, third principle is anything you see without judging completes itself. So if you have the willingness to see how you victimize yourself, if you see it and you don't judge it,
you don't have to do anything about it. You just have to notice that you've done that without making yourself right or wrong for doing it. This is very simple stuff. It's so simple that your mind will say, oh, that's impossible. That can't transform your life. Oh, yes, it can.
Yes, Fawn, we've been working on our new book project. And this project I'm really excited about because it has lots of different people who have put in their experiences. And I totally forgot what I was going to say.
It's okay. You just had a pen mark on your chin.
Shia was
being mommy.
He was licking his finger and rubbing the dark spot off my chin. And I got totally, no two things can occupy the same area at the same time. Let's take our call, shall we? I can either be a victim or, hey, move on. Okay, here we go.
Peter, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi.
Great to be here.
Thank you. What can we do for you?
Well, I have two stories that have had a major impact on my life, although I'm definitely aware that they're lessening. And can I share both of them in brief?
We'll start with one and then we'll see where it goes. How's that?
Okay, great. My first story is the I'm too old story. I'm too old to start something new story. And
okay.
I have had a story like this since I was a teenager. Like, for example, I remember being around age 14 or 15 and thinking, oh, God, I am too old to start learning how to play the piano because I have friends who've been studying it since they were 6 or 7 years old, and they're amazing, and it's too late.
Right.
And then I had the same thought a little later around dance. I thought, well, I'd love to learn to dance, but, you know, I'm 20. It's like nobody starts to dance when they're 20. It's to start when you're like 5.
Right.
So I've experienced this around different things throughout my 20s, 30s, 40s. Now I'm in my mid-50s, and I'm actually in this incredible place where, I sew, I write a sewing blog. I'm in this amazing kind of, like, my life is expanding, the possibilities are expanding. I'm getting all these incredible creative opportunities, and I hear that voice again, that little monkey on my shoulder saying, you're too, nobody starts a career as a clothing designer at 55.
Well, what if that phrase has now turned into a catch-all for one of two things? One could be, I don't wanna. If you even go back to being 14 and piano, you have the idea that you would like to learn piano, but clearly, aside from looking at people who are accomplished and holding yourself as less because you'd be starting at the beginning, if you wanted to play piano and you wanted to learn to do it well, there was going to be work involved. And you may not have wanted to apply yourself to that. So I'm too old can be a cover for, you know, I just don't want to do the work.
Yes. Well, that relates to another victim story. Sorry.
Say again?
No, I said that relates to another story, which
Well, don't go there yet. We're not there yet.
Yes. Okay.
The other thing it can be now is I'm afraid. That can be code for I'm afraid. I'm afraid to give it a my all because I might fail. It's the conversation that comes up between you. It's that gap between you and either engagement or engaging someplace else in your life. It's your screensaver.
Right. That resonates strongly with me. Like, maybe, what if I try and then I bump up, like, what if somebody, I try to get a particular kind of job and someone says, oh, how old are you? Or, you know what I mean? Or something like that.
Well, they probably will, Peter. And why they will is that you hold age as a category or a filter through which you look at life. When you walk into a room, you sort people by their age. And so your considerations will be mouthed by your universe, by the people you interact with, because we're looking for agreement for our considerations so we don't have to engage in our lives. Right. Saying I'm too old to start something new, well, you may have learned that as a child, but so what?
You know, maybe you should wait another 20, 25 years so that when you make it as a designer, you can be the big story of, look how old this person is to be so successful.
Well, wasn't Grandma Moses the artist? She didn't start painting until she was in her 70s or 80s?
I think so, yes.
So, you know, look, if you...
It's been done.
That's right. I think it's too old, too late. It's been done.
For that to be my story and my story alone.
Yeah, so it's been done. So maybe you can let that one go. What was your other story?
Okay, so my other story was that I grew up in a very sort of academically challenging environment where, like, getting good grades and studying really hard was very, very important. And my story was that I was pushed so much as a young person that I just don't have anything left. I was pushed too hard.
Oh,
now, mind you, I recognize
poor baby.
Yeah, but if they didn't push you, your story now would be, nobody motivated me, so I don't know how to motivate myself
now.
That's
right.
Right.
See, there's no way to win if your commitment is to being victimized by how your parents did it. See, and look, Peter, let's go back to that second principle of instantaneous transformation. Can you be different than you are right now?
No.
Good. We're going to a break. How's that?
Can you come back with us after the break?
Absolutely.
Excellent. We'll be back shortly with Peter. Come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-888-346-9141. That number again is 1-888-346-9141. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back. Oh, yeah. We just did that course in New York City this past weekend.
Fun as the access way to enlightenment.
Wow.
It was fun.
And it was awesome to see the people on Monday night and what had happened in one single day of what happens for people when they immerse themselves in their own brilliance and then step back into the normal routine of their lives. People came up and told us things like, I didn't realize how I had a baseline of irritation and none of that was there today. Or I had no idea how upset I was and I'm not upset. Or fun just came naturally today. We have more weekend seminars coming up. Shai and I both wholeheartedly invite you from wherever you are. We have a course coming up
in New York City, Creativity and Intuition, August 11th, 12th, and 13th. It is a fun course.
Before that, we have Cambridge, England. We'll be leaving in a couple of weeks. It's June 30th, July 1st, and 2nd. Excellence, well-being, and satisfaction, the art of being yourself. We have people coming in from all over the world. People come into courses from Hong Kong. They come in from Australia, from across the States, all over Europe. There is no place too far to come, should you wish. Now, mind you, if you have a story that you're
tells
not
you
worth
can't,
it, or that you can't,
or you can't afford it, or you can't, you probably use that story to stop you in other areas of your life as well.
Now, if you don't want to come,
please don't.
Please don't. But if you do, give it to yourself. Take the leap. Should be fun.
Hey, we want to thank our listeners.
We do.
We have listeners in British Columbia, Canada. Hey, you know, we're going to British Columbia, Canada in less than a month.
Yeah, we'll see many of you there.
Yeah.
And then Denver, Colorado. And Las Vegas, Nevada.
How about Perth, Australia? We've been to Perth, Australia.
It's the only place in Australia we've been. So shout out to you. Hicksville, New York.
I once had an uncle and aunt who lived there.
Yeah, Hicksville?
Yeah, Hicksville.
Wow. And
Zurich, Switzerland.
Yeah. So wherever you're listening to us from today.
We've been in Zurich.
We have. Shout out to you.
We were in Zurich when that volcano in Iceland went off, and we couldn't get back to the States from leading a seminar in Germany.
See, it's all part of our story. We all have stories, and stories can be part of the fabric of our lives that have our lives be a rich tapestry. But if you go back and sit on one of those threads, your life moves on, and you're not there with it.
Mm-hmm.
We're with Peter. You still with us, Peter?
Peter?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now we can.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
okay. Great. Hi.
Hi. You know, you were talking about another story that you had. Give us a brief recap of that story.
So that story was that I was pushed too hard as a young person, meaning like as a teen and early 20s. I was just pushed too hard by the environment I was in, and I shouldn't have to push anymore.
So what is that story? What is that story useful for now? When does it appear, and what do you use it for?
It appears when I have challenges ahead, like I'm ready to take on a new creative challenge, or something new is opening up that might be that might require some preparation or some uncertainty or some stress, perhaps, if I choose to stress myself over it. And then I'll think, oh, well, I had so much stress as a young person. You know, I maxed out. I can't deal with stress anymore.
Hey, Peter.
What? Yes.
That sounds to me all like a behind the curtain in the theater. No.
Yes.
Just don't tell me what to do. No, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And this becomes the justifier for the no.
That's right.
It also becomes the fail-safe should you, in your mind, not be successful. Oh, we'll see.
If they hadn't pushed me
so hard, I would be more successful. It's the back door, so you never have to be fully responsible for your life and your life choices.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple.
I see that.
Well, if you see it and you don't judge it, it may just dissolve.
You know, and judge it includes believe it. Believe it to be true.
Judging can be positive or negative. So if you don't add energy to something you observe, it dissolves. If you add either positive energy or negative energy, you keep it in place.
You know, on the computer that's in front of Shia, we have a screensaver that's like a geometric pattern that plays, and it's always similar, always slightly different, because it's like a random pattern, but it is a geometric pattern. And if I come up the stairs and I see the pattern on, it tells me, oh, we left the computer on, but it hasn't been engaged for a long enough period of time that the desktop icons are showing. The screensaver has come on. You could actually treat both of those conversations you had today that you were telling us about, the I'm too old or
I was pushed
too hard, as an indicator that you've paused, that you're gapping, that you are not fully engaged in your life. Because whether you do an activity or don't, you don't need to have a reason for or against it.
And it'll make your intention clear to you if you use the story as a justifier for not going for what you say you want.
Which just means you don't want it.
That's right.
If you want it, the story's not relevant.
Right. Cool.
Hey.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have another couple callers holding, so we'll take the next one. Angelica, where are you calling in from today?
Hi, Ariel and Taya. I'm calling in from Hamburg, Germany.
Nice to hear your voice.
Welcome to the show.
Likewise. Thank you. Well, I've just been listening to Peter already, and I could really relate to all that. I also have lots of stories, and I feel that they are coming up always when I'm idle or when I don't want to face challenges. And one of my stories is that I'm really afraid, or that I'm not able to speak up in front of a group of people. And the thing is that during the past few months, I was asked several times whether I was doing moderation of panel discussions. So there were people who really thought that I was capable of doing that. And I was like, oh, my goodness.
I love that. Part of what I love about that is I really think that people around us, colleagues, family, friends, see our greatness. And they aren't privy to the story that is trying to protect us from discomfort, or that we put together as a kid when we
weren't capable.
And it's a really fun game to listen to that wider perspective of us and to be willing to step into that reality rather than reinforce a more limited one that we may have of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it also, it's a little bit like calling into this radio show, which I can see that it really gives me energy. I mean, it makes me feel alive. It's exciting, but at the same time, I can also see that it widens the perspective or the possibilities.
Well, you know, what's funny, too, you talk about being afraid to speak in front of people, but last month we had 40,000 listeners, so you got to figure there's a lot of people listening to this show, so you may be speaking to a much wider audience than you realize.
Yeah, I could imagine that. Yeah, that's true. So that's exciting, of course, but at the same time, I can see it feels just like a normal conversation between the three of us, you know, so it's just...
Both things are true.
Mm-hmm. And moderating a panel is like having a conversation where you're just there with your attention off yourself, taking care to get whatever the panel's purpose is out there and spoken about to whoever is in the audience listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds very tempting for me, actually. It's something I would really love to do, but then there comes this voice that says, well, but what happens if you all of a sudden are not able to do that, or if you, it's also on a very technical subject. It's about renewable energies, and I don't actually consider myself an expert, but other people think that I know something about it or that I can step into it. And
so, well, Angelica, what do you consider yourself an expert on?
Well, I don't know. Actually...
Well, how about being Angelica?
Yeah.
Well, you know, probably. The other thing, Angelica, is if they're asking you to moderate a panel, that doesn't mean they're asking you to be an expert at renewable energy, but perhaps being able to read the people who are on your panel to see who may in that moment have something to share with the audience that will be illuminating on that subject. Mm-hmm. That's what a moderator does. They don't have to know everything themselves. They just have to be interested and skillful at being interested.
Mm-hmm. And to listen, which is something I've really learned with you guys, which has helped me a lot also with my clients, because usually I mainly work as a copywriter and translator.
Mm-hmm.
It's with very little public, just working for myself and with my computer. And but I can, whenever I talk to my clients, I can see that it has become so much easier for me to listen to them and that they so much appreciate it. And it also has turned out that I've earned so much more money ever since. And so, yeah.
Sweet. Excellent. This new book project I was just speaking about, you submitted one of the chapters and that we are happily using. And right from the very beginning, because you discuss in your chapter submission about how coming to the very first seminar with us in Hamburg, how whole worlds opened up of
possibility
thing, mm-hmm. doors that had been closed. And you are so capable of just continuing that, of letting go of the story that constricts you into a smaller version of you and stepping into those things that are of interest to you.
Sounds great. That's really touching.
Yeah. It would be cool in a way to have selective amnesia where you can let go of those stories you've told yourself about your limitations so you can discover that you are limitless in possibility that's available to you. The only thing that keeps you from having that limitless nature is the story that tells you you can't and that you believe that story to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So what if all our stories are just fabrications made by earlier versions of us that are no longer true?
Yep.
You know, you can use your story as a creative impetus for whatever's next, or you can use it as something to hide behind so that you can say no to whatever's next. And you have the opportunity at any time to do either.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
Hey. Thank you so much for calling today. Really lovely, lovely speaking with you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Excellent. Let's take our next caller. Diane, where are you calling in from?
Hi, I'm calling from New York City.
Hi, Diane. Nice to hear your voice.
I'm a little nervous, so bear
with me. Oh, that could be good.
This is your first time on the show with us, right?
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Shia, I love what you... First of all, Angelica kind of stole my theme.
Which theme was that?
I'll tell you what it is anyway. But Shia, I loved what you said, that our stories could be earlier versions that are no longer true.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how that has just changed my life.
Oh, that's so great.
Well, earlier versions of what that are no longer true.
Well, I love that she stole your theme before you tell us the next thing, because our stories are also universal, and we think that they're uniquely, strangely us.
Well, and our stories have been culturally predetermined. We learn from, you know, how we model ourselves after older kids? You know, we look up to a 12-year-old when we're 8 or 9 as if they are sophisticates.
Sometimes they are.
Well, nowadays, yes and no. They're still children. Mm-hmm. And if you model yourself after their stories, then you start living a prescribed life that may not be in your best interest.
You know, we have a friend, Caitlin, who comes to our courses. And one year we were looking at her and saying, Caitlin, whenever you talk about business, you assume this whole different posture. You get your head down. You look very like fierce and everything gets tense. And when you talk about your personal life, it's a totally different thing. Like, who did you model yourself after? And she recalled having met a high-powered woman. And she was like, I want to be like that when I grow up. And so she had started to assume a posture and a way of being that was so hard on her, but had nothing to do with her effectiveness as a business person. It was just a kid's overlay.
Diane.
That's interesting.
Diane, we have to go to a break now. Can you come back with us, please?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. Perfect. We'll be back shortly, everyone. So come on back and don't miss being here.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Cane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, You can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-888-346-9141. That number again is 1-888-346-9141. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back to Being Here.
Just for your information, we are coming to Hamburg, Germany in October. We're doing the Freedom to Breathe on Thursday the 5th and the Power of Listening October 6th through 8th. All of our seminars, including our Costa Rica immersion courses into instantaneous transformation, can be found on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Hey, you know, our next Monday Night Alive in New York City is on June 19th.
And we'll be celebrating July 4th, the 4th of July here, with an international conference call. So if you're in the States and you have the day off and would like to join us for the international conference call, why not? We can
go to our website.
TransformationMadeEasy.com. We are speaking with Diane.
Hi.
Hi. So you were going to tell us what your story was?
Well,
yes.
I have a question. I love going to the Monday Night Live session, and I've learned so much when I've taken your workshops, and I've also signed up for the August 11th workshop in creativity.
Excellent.
And I've really learned a lot. However, when I go on Monday night, there are things that I want to say. And I feel that what I have to say isn't important enough for me to get up and say it.
It's
starting to annoy me.
So
I'm wondering, is this a form of victimizing myself?
Well, Diane, you know, if we were to take a
cross sample of the
room and ask how many people want to ask something but are afraid to or
think it's
hesitate
not worth enough.
Or it isn't important enough, I'd be willing to bet that probably 3/4 of the room would raise their hand. So it may just be that you're reading the space of the room.
It's interesting that you said the August course is creativity. It's also intuition, creativity and intuition. And so it is possible that that can be like a tone. You know, if somebody were to start humming a note, pretty soon you might have a lot of people humming a similar note. All you have to do is get somebody going, and the next thing you know, you fill in. So that's one thing. But the other thing is, if you listen to Peter and you listen to Angelica, sometimes we have thought processes like, oh, it's unimportant, that save us
from the embarrassment
or potential embarrassment
of being seen by others. Look, you know, children are kind of brutal. They're not socialized fully yet, and so their mean nature sometimes comes through, especially in classroom situations. And our evening groups are to the mind like a classroom situation, and
So unless you've been homeschooled.
We've all been ridiculed in one form or another by saying something that didn't go over just right. So there's a lot of hesitation and caution in many of us. But that doesn't mean that that behavior or those thoughts that limit our self-expression need to continue to run our lives. You know, we do have a say in the matter of our own lives, although sometimes we don't think so.
But when you get up and you share your story, doesn't that mean that you think that what you have to, that you think that you're important enough to get up and speak?
Well, I don't think so. In that, one of the things that you may not be privy to is that, well, I do know that you're aware that people set up the room every night that we're there. There are chairs. There's the books that are laid out. That doesn't happen by the hotel staff. It happens by volunteers who come in ahead of time. And they set up the room in a way that transformation can happen and people can have the event. And one of the things that we tend to do is have a little meeting with people before the evening starts. And we often encourage them to be willing to get up and say something, whether or not they think it's important. That importance isn't important. The impulse to share something,
to participate in your life,
is enough.
Yeah, that's it. Participating. Yeah.
I mean, and here you are. I guarantee you, there are a lot of people, thousands. Every week, thousands and thousands who think, gee, I wouldn't be able to call in.
Well, not only that, you know, what we're talking about is enlightenment in a classical sense. You know, transformation is synonymous with enlightenment. And enlightenment requires discovering your life newly in each moment. Now, we have thousands of listeners. Like Ariel said, last month we had 40,000 listeners. Well, that's a lot of people, and not that many of them call in, even though they may have questions about enlightenment that they've thought about for years. And we have answers because we've been doing this for 30 years. Ariel and I have been working together, leading seminars. We've been together 35 years, and we still are romantic, if you will, on a very regular basis. So we haven't lost that spark that most people lose early on in their, you know, relationship lives.
You know, one of the things in my experience of you, Diane, that in order for you to get up and speak in front of the room or to speak with more regularity, you might have to build a tolerance for being liked.
And I'll let that go by.
You're amazing.
Because, you know, I see you. You come in. I can't recall for certain, but I think you were introduced to the community by the voice teacher, Susan. And so when you two greet each other, there's a availability and a relaxation that I don't think you confer or upon
allow,
all of us.
Allow.
You don't allow with the rest of us. And I feel as if people are very patient and respectful of that, but people deeply like you, but they just don't want to be too intrusive. And if you come up and you look at people when you're speaking, you may actually see that they enjoy you already.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. And I just have to say that the people that have been members of part of your community for a long time, it's wonderful to see the warmth that they share. And it just makes you want to come back and share, try to share more with them.
Yeah.
Good. Well, you know, trust yourself. You have great powers of observation. You actually are
a very savvy person.
I'm a savvy person, yeah. And so, you know, you should trust your intuition in that respect, because people really like you, Diane.
Well, I like everyone there. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank
you. Another caller.
See you Monday night.
Yes. See you next Monday. You know, Before we take our next caller, it occurs to me that a couple people who came for the first time, a mother and daughter who came for the first time on Monday, came and spoke to us on the break, and they said that they were most impressed by how authentic people were. People are all very different. They're not clones of each other. There's an authenticity. And you can hear that in Diane, yeah. Even though she's a person who has not come up and spoken a lot up front, there's an authenticity that is really, really refreshing. Let's take Pat. You yes. with us, Pat? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Lovely.
Yes. And I have to say this being here today has been really great. I've related to so much of what's been said, especially Peter. I started voice lessons, which I'd always wanted to do at age 70. And I've been told by a friend a number of years ago that I didn't have a soloist voice. So I had a blending voice, didn't have a solo voice. I started voice lessons at 70, and I've done solos. So it's pretty amazing to me how that story had kept me for so many years from doing something that I wanted to do, with taking voice lessons. And now the next challenge is on Monday, this coming Monday. I'm in a voice recital, and it's really been interesting to see how I've really resisted memorizing my voice pieces that I'm doing. And I had two things going on inside of me. Is I don't wanna, because I'm afraid I'll forget the words and embarrass myself. So I took many weeks before I even got started to practice. And now that I practiced intensively for a couple of days, I'm actually memorizing the songs pretty well. So I just think it's really funny how we take some of the things that we've experienced in the past and let them control ourselves.
I see it slightly different.
Okay.
You recall this conversation where the person said you had a blending voice?
Yeah.
But in that, there's no ownership for the conversation at all.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what I mean. You know, back when Shai and I were getting married, and my mom was voicing objections to that. She wasn't sure it was a good idea. I, at that time, was just thinking my mom was being unreasonable, and I had no inkling, oversight, interest in how I was setting her up to have those concerns, how I wasn't listening to her, how I actually did and comported myself in ways that set her up for that concern. So we can actually, and I recall when I was working as an actress, there was a person I looked up to and I deferred my reality to. I deferred to her like she was better than me. And she told me I would never make it if I didn't get a nose job, a chin job, and a cheek job. You know, that was a great excuse to not have to go for it. Right up until I got work as an actress on television for 3 years. But it's somehow I can either have that story that person was doing me wrong, but she was absolutely supporting me in my current already ongoing perception of myself that I wasn't enough.
That's very good.
So if you thought you weren't good enough to do solos, this person just reflected your thoughts and put them on external speaker for you.
Which is what Shia was saying to Peter. Peter can be sure people will go, wow, how old are you? And he can either go, well, I'm in my 50s, or he can go, I'm in my 50s.
And be excited about it. Different story. Or you can use it to justify your staying safe and small.
And I'll tell you something. Not practicing your words is your way of not having to be fully responsible for how great you are.
You know, when Ariel and I first got together, she had me go and take a
mastery of acting.
class. And, you know, I wasn't a professional actor. Everybody else in the class was a professional actor. And she didn't actually have me do it. She suggested I do it. I did it.
And then I supported him in rehearsing.
And, you know, I had this story for my whole life that I can't memorize, except I did. And I did it well. And I did it fully. And I was successful. And the leader of a class said, Shia, that was excellent. That was the only excellent he gave out. Except he said, don't go into acting.
It's not your thing, clearly. But wow, how great was that?
So, you know, you don't have to become a professional singer to be a great singer.
But the question is whether or not you're going to give yourself license to be fully and completely you, no holds barred. And if you make mistakes, hey, that's me, like me losing my sentence when Shia played with my chin. That's me. That's full tilt me. And by the way, we're coming to the end of the show. And what I love is next week's show title, Pat.
It's called Drama is Optional.
Thanks very much. You're great.
Thank you all for being with us.
Hey, do great next week. Have fun. We'll be back next Monday, Wednesday, actually.
Yes. So come on back and share the show with people.
Yeah. Don't miss being here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another empowering episode of Being Here